Hello, my spontaneous people. This is Johnny Boar here, and welcome to My Culture Mind. This is the show where I talk about anything in the world of modern culture, for music, movies, TV, food, and all that stuff. And today, we have several topics we're going to be discussing today. However, we're going to be focusing, or at least the main topic is going to be Percy Jackson and the Olympians, episodes 1 and 2. Spoiler talk. Again, if you have not watched these episodes, go check them out. I will be also be talking about this several topics. I'm actually going to do my review on Wonka. I just watched it last week, and I wanted to give my quick thoughts on the film and just basically give maybe a quick rating out of either 5 or 10. We'll see. And of course, there's a bit of news that's been going along, and some of my inkling thoughts about movie theaters, and I really want to discuss that. But before we get started, if you are new to the podcast, thank you so much for listening today. If you like this podcast, click follow, whatever you follow your podcast and all that stuff. So it really means a lot. Just, give it a follow and give it a listen. It really means a lot. Anyways, without further ado, let's move on. Let's start with some big news that just happened recently. This is not really new news, but it's all about Jonathan Majors and where this is going to go. So according to the accounts, he has been found guilty on, I believe it was 2 charges. He was found guilty and maybe serving jail time. Now, this has been discussed many, many platforms, many different YouTube channels and all movie critics and all that stuff. So what does this mean? I believe it means that I really don't think that we're going to see Kang, or maybe a recast of Kang, maybe. So on the movie aspect, Disney needs to figure out what they're going to do next. Are they going to moving forward with Kang, but a different actor? Or should they just scrap the whole Kang thing? And I believe I've seen rumors, or I've seen headlines saying that they're changing the name of Kang Dynasty. They're changing the name to Avengers 5. And then I don't know. If this whole announcement of Phase 4 and 5 or whatever, this whole announcement of what they're going to do with the MCU, I just can't keep up with all of it. But what I will say, though, I don't think that Disney wants to continue with Jonathan Majors. I believe he's fired, I believe. I probably need to get my facts straight a bit more. But what I'm thinking is that Jonathan Majors is probably not going to act for a while because of, all the press and all that. So, do I think that he might go back into acting? Maybe. But we don't know for sure, and it's not looking good. So all I can say is that I hope they recast him as for Kang, because I think the Kang character is interesting. I think it's something that we should dive into. And again, there are variants of Kang. I don't know why we can't see a different version of Kang, or someone that looks different. That's the whole thing about variants. There's there are different variants of Loki, a freaking alligator or crocodile, I forgot, but alligator. But it is possible. And it's been done before. Don Cheadle was recasted I forgot his name. The guy from Man, forgive me. The first actor who played Rhodey. Forgive me about that. It'll come back to me. But what I will say, though, is I think after Kang, it has to be Doctor Doom. Well, not has to be, but I would love to see Doctor Doom with either for the Fantastic Four, maybe Spider-Man. Doctor Doom has encountered many Marvel characters before. It's not just the Fantastic Four. Although we are still waiting We are still waiting for the cast names for the Fantastic Four, and I can't keep up with all the theories and all that, or the who's it going to be. I just can't keep up with it anymore. I'm tired. But all I know is Jonathan Majors. I hope that he gets the help that he needs. But at the same time, I'm not. Who knows? He might be acting again. We'll never know, but we'll see. Anyways, let's just move on to another thing, another topic, which is not really news, but it's mainly my concern about not just the superhero movie genre, but because since I'm going to watch Aquaman, I bought my tickets for today, but I don't know if I can make it, so we'll see. But just movies in general. I think movies in general, at least the movie theaters. Recently, when I watched Wonka, and I'll be talking about Wonka in a sec. When I watched Wonka, there were only like 4 people, including me, and that is like sad. Now it didn't ruin my experience with the film. Because spoiler alert, I love the film. I love Wonka. But it would have been a better experience if it were with a little more people. What I love about going to movie theaters is like you are sharing the experience with other people. Even if I go by myself, at least I know there are some people out there that are experiencing the same film with me. And sometimes I remember after watching, I don't know if it was Avengers Endgame or Spider-Man or whatever, but I just had a quick conversation with someone next to me, some guy that was, it was just some guy. We were just talking about theories, and it was a bonding experience, even though I'd never seen that guy again, but it was still a nice experience to have that. And I remember, forgive me, when I watched Saban's Power Rangers, the Power Rangers movie from not 1995, but like the recent, the new, the 2017, 2016, I don't know. And I saw this girl, she was the only girl in the theater, and we just bonded with that as well. It was just like, oh man, like, she was just like, she wanted to be the Pink Ranger so bad, so I was just like, oh man. It was such a nice experience to have that while watching the movies. So that's why when I looked at my listings for like Cinemark, when I went to Cinemark, I was the first one to buy an online ticket. I was the first one. And this was opening day, and there was no one. And then 3 other people showed up, which is, you know, kind of comforting, but still, I think after that, I was like, okay, I'll go to AMC, because AMC is popular. So I just wanted to be gathered by people. I want to be gathered by people to share this experience with everyone else, because it does enhance the experience. At least for me, yeah, it does enhance the experience. So I was a little not disappointed, that's not the right term, but it could have been better if there were more people to watch the film with me. Not that anyone's obligated to do so, but it would have been a great experience to laugh and cry and all that, just to have those experiences with people. So that's just my 2 cents on movie theaters, because everyone's like, one, and I don't blame people for not going to movie theaters. It's expensive. Even the cheaper options to go to a movie, it can be pricey. And people are like, oh, pay, you know, $20 for this, or like even for $10. Some people can't even, like, you know, for $10 to go to a movie theater when they could actually go like streaming and watch thousands of movies, and just wait. And just wait for, like, the movie to come out on streaming. That's a lot of people are doing. Even my colleagues who are actors, like, you know, they are just waiting till streaming. You know, I'm not saying that the movie going experience isn't worth it. I'm just saying that I'm concerned of, like, you know, the movie going experience, like, you know, bringing back people to theaters. Like, for example, I remember that Spider-Man, No Way Home, made $1 billion. This was during, like, you know, recovering from the pandemic. After recovering from the pandemic, it brought back many people back into theaters because they were just like, ooh, this is going to be the event. And it was. It was the best, and I could argue with this. Spider-Man No Way Home is the best movie-going experience for me over Endgame. Like, by far. Not by far, but like, it was pretty up there. Endgame was great. It was such a great, like, you know, movie-going experience. And then, like, No Way Home was just like, it was just so much better. It was so much better. And I would... And I missed that. So I don't know what's... Well, I don't want to say I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. It's just like... this economy, man. This economy. Like, we just got to pay our bills, really. And we got to prioritize where should we put our money at. And that's why I think that the movie-going experience is... dying. I'm not saying it's over, but it is having a bit of trouble. And of course, hearing the news of, like, people especially WB doesn't have any faith in Aquaman 2. Especially there's not even a red carpet premiere. They just had a fan event, and James Wan and Jason Momoa promoting the film, just the two of them, and. Oh my god, I saw the photos. I was just like, it looked kind of sad. But I'm gonna put my expectations, like, you know, out the door and then just watch the movie. And I mean, who knows? I don't know what's gonna dominate at the box office, really. I really don't. But anyways, I'm gonna move on from this because it sounds pretty depressing. But I wanna talk about Wonka. Wonka is, well, like I said earlier, it's a delightful film. I love the Wonka films. I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Sue me. I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It is a funny movie. I think it brings out the funny more. Gene Wilder's. It's a horror film / family film, and it is definitely a family. It is definitely a family film. For Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because it brought that wholesomeness. The music. I love the music too. And I love the music from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think that in Wonka and the what Wonka did, I don't think it's gonna win an Oscar, but I do think that, like, Timothée Chalamet should be applauded for his performance as Willy Wonka. What it did was, it just brings joy. It's a joyful film. It brought, like, all the things that I missed in movies. And it felt kind of awkward that, like, for me, sometimes, because every time I go to the films, it's always about, like, action-packed and maybe comedies, sometimes animated films. But when it comes to musicals like this, because it is a musical. It is a musical. There's a lot of, like, a lot of songs. I need to watch this movie again, hopefully on streaming. But Wonka did bring back the... I almost cried in the film, especially the end. In the end, it really brought me to tears because... Okay, spoiler alert. There was a moment when Willy Wonka... after when he stopped the chocolate cartels. I remember the names. There's Fickle Gruber, Prognos, and Slugworth. Like the three chocolate cartels. When they were defeated, or gone to jail or whatever, and then Willie decide, like, you know, is like, you know, victorious and now selling his chocolate, and then he opened the chocolate bar that his mother made, like, and what made me cry is like, is there's a golden ticket in there. There's a golden ticket that his mother made, and is like, the secret to having great chocolate is the people you share it with. And I believe that it resonates with, like, the future films. I feel like, okay, this is definitely a prequel to Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not Johnny Depp's. This is totally different from Johnny Depp's. Johnny Depp's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it has an origin of Willy and all that. So that is, yeah, we're not going to talk about, like, you know, this is not a direct sequel to Johnny Depp's. This is definitely Gene Wilder's. Why? Because Timothée Chalamet is saying pure imagination. And there's a character, Noodles, being separated from her mom, and then Willy Wonka reunited them, and singing, like, you know, come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination, like, that, okay, hopefully I'm not gonna get copyright for that, but anyways, that scene really made me cry, or at least tear up. I mean, like, my eyes weren't dry that moment. I will say that. That song in general is such a, not only such a delight, it is such an emotional song. And I think it played out so, because I remember watching this film and I was like, as much as I liked some of the, you know, the songs that they play, I was just like, where's the original ones? Where's the Oompa Loompa song? Where is Pure Imagination? So, and they delivered that. The Hugh Grant sang his Oompa Loompa songs. It's not the exact words, but he did say, like, Oompa Loompa doobity doo, like, you know, that, you know. And then they added own twist to, like, you know, the lyrics and talking about Loompa Land and all that. So there's that. I heard Hugh Grant didn't like being an Oompa Loompa, but then again, I loved his performance. His performance was great. He was great as a Oompa Loompa. I forgot his Oompa Loompa name, but anyways. But Timothée Chalamet as Willy Wonka, I think he captured the spirit of Willy Wonka, and then you get to see more of you see a little bit of Gene Wilder's in there, as the, not just the magician, but like the you know, like he can be a little crazy, like a little, but like he can be crazy, but also warm, and that's what I love about it, and it does make a lot of sense why we never seen Noodles in the films. Well, one, she's reunited with her mom. But also, Willy Wonka wanted to find the next Noodle, because she was the pure heart and soul of that group. Not to say, like, those who were helping Willy Wonka weren't you know, essential characters, but Noodles, for who is related to the Slugworth family, I just want to point it out there. But I think that Willy Wonka wanted to find the next Noodle, and that happened to be Charlie Bucket was the pure heart and soul of that film. And while Charlie and Joe made a mistake by drinking fizzy lifting drinks, he was forgiven, and he did not keep the, he did not spill the secrets to the fake Slugworth in the film, because that's what it was, in, the film. Like, he was testing Charlie, and at the end, he was awarded the whole factory, and the family could come in as well, and that's what I love about the, what I love about the film is, like, you know, she is like Charlie Bucket, where she is poor, and she has to work, and that's what Charlie Bucket was. So yeah, I really love this film. So I will give Wonka, I'm gonna give Wonka an 8 out of 10. It's a solid film. It's a heartwarming film. I need to watch this again. I want to watch Wonka again, and then watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and then I watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then, you know what? Maybe I'll even read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the book. I'll read that as well, because I love that book. And yet I still haven't read it in a long time, so I gotta check that out again. So yeah. Anyways, now, moving on to Percy Jackson and the Olympians, episodes 1 and 2. Now, I'm probably going to rush through this. Well, not rush through this, but, like, I have some initial thoughts, and I want to make some talk about the differences between these the show and the first movie that was released, and was it 2010, 2012? Yeah, I forgot. Anyways, I think that watching this film does really remind me of watching Harry Potter again for the first time, and that's a big compliment, because what I love the first Harry Potter film, Sorcerer's Stone, there was a sense of wonder, but also, like, intensity. And that's what Percy Jackson is. I've read the first two books. For some reason, I haven't continued with the third book. I think life got in the way. But what I loved is, obviously, this is more accurate. Like, this is more accurate to the books, and I love that. But I think that the show, episodes 1 and 2, did feel like I'm watching Harry Potter again for the first time, and it felt fresh and new, even though I've read the book, and after watching the first Percy Jackson film, it felt fresh and new. I feel like the Lightning Thief movie was, it was a mixture between young adult and teen film, and I actually, you know, I, from my experience, from what I remember, it was a cute little film. It was fun. I had fun watching it. Is it accurate to the books? No, it wasn't, but it was a trip. But anyways, this not only feels more accurate to the books, but there is more of a sense of wonder, which I was hoping to see in the show. So what I loved about this show is, you see Percy Jackson, like, he is clumsy. But you can see him still, like, you know, learning how to defend himself by, like, you know, being a quick learner. He's not, like, you know, to be honest, I think, well, a lot of people probably think about this, like, a lot, but, like, I think that Percy Jackson could, like, defeat Harry Potter quickly. I think so. Like, he's a better fighter. He's a better fighter. Like, he's killed, like, you know, he's killed a minotaur, like, you know, in the first, like, in the first episode. And he, and it's not to say that, like, oh, he got it easy. I think he was already training with Grover, and he did not know it. All these instincts, you know, it's very quick. This instinct of, like, you know, hand-eye coordination or all that. So it still felt fresh, but he still has a lot to work with. And I think that in this show, it made me believe that this guy, he still has a lot to work with, but he has talent. And that's what I loved about it, especially, like, the fight choreography in this. The actor playing Percy, I love how he's not just broody, like, you know, and he's not just, a lot of people had a crush on Logan Lerman, as Percy Jackson, like, you know, the hair and everything. Like, oh my god, the hair. The 2008 hair, or early 2000s hair, oh my god. But anyways, what I think about Percy Jackson, at least this interpretation of Percy Jackson, is you can tell it does feel like he is an outsider. And I love how it explains why he's an outsider, but at the same time, I love how he didn't believe his mom. He's like, "Mom, stop it. Stop saying that I'm special. I'm not. There's no such thing as gods and monsters and all that. Just please do not make me feel special. Do not make me feel like, you know, I'm predestined for greatness and all that," because he doesn't want that false hope. And that's what I missed in the first film. In this, he feels like he's even after discovering he is the son of Poseidon, or at least, like, he's son of a god at least, he's still upset. He's still upset. He still feels forgotten. His dad doesn't want him to do anything with him. And that's what I loved about it. Like, he still feels, like, out of it. In the real world and in Camp Half-Blood. So that's what I loved about how it captured the feel of the book. And it leaves a lot of characterization. Not just for Percy, but for Grover as well. The fact that Grover had to lie in front of Percy's face to protect him, saying that, like, oh, I didn't touch Nancy. And then Grover said, yeah, he did, but that was to protect him. It was such, I felt sorry for Grover. I felt sorry for Grover, because no matter what he does, and Percy's just not having it, he's just like, he doesn't know who to trust. And then I love how Annabeth, and they finally showed the hat. I don't think they showed the hat, the invisible hat, whatever, that she wore, in the books. I'm glad that they brought it into the show. Again, I don't remember if she had the hat in the first film. I don't think she did. But anyways, this is only the first two episodes. I'm sure that the finale is going to be, like, you know, who is the lightning thief? If you read the books, you know, but I can't wait to see what this show holds. I want to see Sea of Monsters. I want to see all books being being translated to the show, because it has a lot of potential. I believe that Percy Jackson, at least the show, is a much needed win. And also, this encouraged me to go back and read the books. I want to read the books again. So that is something worth looking into. So yeah, I will give, I guess I might not rate these episodes. I wanna rate the whole season as a whole, so I probably won't just rate the episodes. I will say, though, like, the dialogue, some of it's cheesy, but then again, it's more of a family film. It's not supposed to be, like, too serious, but it does bring a lot of wonder, and that's I give props to that. So, and I think that the actor who is playing Percy, I think he's doing a good job so far, and I can't wait to see more. Anyways, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, if you like this podcast, click follow on whatever podcast services you are listening this to. Share this podcast to anyone you know. It really means a lot. It really helps a lot. And until next time, so long, farewell, take care, bye-bye.